Good morning, everyone. Before we start today, just let's take a look at 4 minutes of video to give you an introduction for today.
Some three decades before John's imprisonment on Patmos, the Roman Emperor Nero had burned Rome, subsequently blaming the followers of Jesus, who were viewed as a sect of the Jewish faith. This false accusation led to extreme persecution, and many died horrible deaths. The spread of the church's influence led a later emperor, Domitian, to begin another round of persecution. According to the ancient Greek writer Philostratus, islands such as Patmos were full of exiles during the reign of Domitian, and it seems that John was one of them. Our story begins over 1900 years ago, when a lonely prisoner in Roman exile put down in writing images that have haunted the imagination ever since. It was the Apocalypse, or the Book of Revelation, the account of a remarkable series of visions from God given to a man named John, the last surviving disciple of Jesus' original 12. Scholars believe that the Apostle John wrote the Book of Revelation around 96 AD. John's perspective was unique. From the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he had been present. He had seen the miracles. He had personally heard the parables and discourses from the lips of Jesus himself. He had seen the Son of God die a terrible death. Humanly speaking, John was closer to Christ than anyone. In fact, they had such a close relationship that Jesus asked John to care for his mother, Mary, after the crucifixion.
What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man.
The seven individual cities named were some of the largest in the Roman Empire. They were on what was probably an ancient mail route, a network of Roman roads. Letters were probably delivered following a circular route, beginning at Ephesus, going north to Smyrna and Pergamum, then southeast to Thyatira and Sardis, and along a major river valley to Philadelphia, and on to Laodicea. From there, the route was completed back at the coast in Ephesus.
To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, "These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and that you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life again. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we pray that you help us to communicate your word and us to understand and apply it in our lives. Thank you for the opportunity to have to worship together, to be together here as a church. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we start our study on the seven churches in the book of Revelation. First of all, we need to understand that this seven church was real church with real problems. These seven churches were real in not only a representation of the seven stages of the church during the history. So today we look only these two first churches, the church of Ephesus and the church in Smyrna. And to help us to understand these two messages, we divide them in nine elements that they have in common. First of all, we have the opening. It's the same open for the both of letters. Jesus starts to say, to the angel of the church in Ephesus, or to the angel to the church in Smyrna, right? The word angel here is really, doesn't matter what is the interpretation. Could be a real angel, a spiritual being, or could be the pastor in the church or a leader. But the main thing here, it's what's matter here, is that these letters were sent to the whole church in this region. The second element here we see is the description of Christ. How Jesus described himself to these two churches. If you look for the church in Ephesus, he said, I am one who holds seven stars, the seven stars, who walks in the midst of the seven gold lampstands. In each of the seven messages to the church, Jesus refers to himself based on what he said in Revelation chapter 1. But there is one detail here that I find very, very interesting, that Jesus refers here in Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, as him who holds seven stars in his right hand and walk among the seven gold lampstand. Can you see the difference between the Revelation chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 2? If you have an NIV, you cannot see much difference. But if you read the King James version, they said, in King James version said, that Jesus has the seven stars. And so in my mind, what came to my mind is like, I have this key here. So this key is with me. So I have the key. But in Revelation chapter 2, Jesus said, I hold the seven. Maybe it's not made so much different, but for me, it's Jesus is emphasized that I not only have you with me, but I hold you in my hands. I hold you in my hands. Jesus not only have you, but he holds your life in his hands. This was the message of the church in Ephesus. And he continues to say that in the initial vision, Jesus said that he stands among the seven churches. But in Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, he said that he walks in the midst. It's different. And for me, the idea what brings to my heart is Jesus is not only, he is not look outside and see what's happening in the church. Jesus is walk in the middle of the church. Among us, Jesus is here. Jesus is walking here. And for the church in Ephesus, he wants to say, hey, I'm with you. I'm not just looking from the heaven and see what the trouble you are, but I know you. I know you because I'm walking among the seven churches. I know what you're going through. I know what you're going through. Okay? So he's not outside looking in, Jesus is in the middle of the church. He is walking around the church, and the church belongs to him. But how Jesus described himself to the church in Smyrna? It's a different way. Take a look at what it says. These things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life again. What Jesus want to say to them? Jesus here is using the words in the prophet Isaiah. For example, Isaiah 44, chapters, verse 6, when he says, I am the first and I am the last, and there is no God beside me. Isaiah 48, verse 12 says, I am he, I am the first, and I am the last. Jesus was ensuring to the disciple in Smyrna that our connection with God do not depend on circumstances. Our life are linked to God not by the decisions and actions to like Caesar, the emperor at the time. No. And our connection with God does not depend on our circumstances of life, what you're going through, your suffering. No. And if you need to look for this point here, and we need to feel that doesn't matter where you are now, doesn't matter where you suffer now, doesn't matter the pressure you are in now, God's still with you, and you are connected with God. Our lives are connected to Him, the first and the last. Whatever happened in your life, Jesus always will be the first word. And in the end, He always will be the last word for your life. And the third element we see here is what Christ knows about the church, about this church. First of all, Jesus knows in the church of Ephesus, Jesus knows their works. Jesus knows their labor, their patience. Jesus know that they cannot tolerate evil people. Jesus recognized here that the church in Ephesus was pushing themselves for the kingdom. They were ready to do everything for sake of the kingdom, for the gospel. Jesus know that. Jesus said here, I know your patience. Jesus recognized that the church in Ephesus have like an inner attitude to stand firm. Doesn't matter if I'm suffering or not, I'm standing firm in my faith. Jesus recognized here that the church Ephesus were to commit to purify their lives and protect the doctrine of the apostle. Jesus recognized that from that church. And when he sent the message to the church in Smyrna, Jesus recognized their work. Jesus recognized the tribulation, their poverty, their blasphemy of false Jews. Jesus knew the hard work of Smyrna to resist the persecution. Different of Ephesus, Smyrna was really, really, really suffering a lot about under persecution. And the Greek word here for tribulation used here is telepsis, and means a crushing pressure. So they were really under a lot pressure. Now, imagine you as the church of Smyrna, and someday somebody's coming, a horse, and say, hey, I have a letter for you guys. And when they open this letter, the first line of the message addressed to them is, I know your pressure, says the Lord. I know what you're going through. I'm with you. To this church in Smyrna, Jesus recognized too that Christ knew their poverty. Smyrna was not a poor city. It was a wealthy city. But what's happened is the Christians were poor. Why they were poor? Because they chose to be faithful to Jesus in their business. So Romans and Jews would not do business with them. Christians were ostracized. Their shoppings were confiscated. And the Romans and Jews do not give jobs to them. Can you relate to this time? Christ knew too that some Jewish community from the Jewish community reported the Christians to the government. And they did this for demonstrate their loyalty to the emperor. So this is why Jesus said, do you know, these Jews, they are not Jews. They are from the synagogue of Satan. Because they gave you to the enemy. They are not Jews. They are not Jews. They are blasphemous. They are blasphemous. The fourth element here, Jesus prays both of church. The first one here, Jesus prays the church in Ephesus, say, you test the false apostles. You are perseverance. I praise your patience in tribulation. And I praise you because you have not grown weary. Some people arrive in Ephesus, declare themselves apostles, and bring a new interpretation of the gospel. I really don't know here in Kyrgyzstan if you have apostles. But in Brazil, we have some apostles. Okay? So they just said, I am apostle, our apostle. Okay? So and sometimes if you go for the church, for their church, if you call them pastor, they can feel offended. Because, no, I'm not only a pastor. I'm an apostle. Okay? So what's happening in the church here is that some people come to Ephesus and say, oh, I am apostle, and I have a new revelation. I have new interpretation for the gospel. So Jesus recognized that the church in Ephesus was resisting them, was testing them. He said, no, you are false apostles because this is not what Jesus is teaching us. And you can see this, but you have this in your favor. You hate the practice of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. This was a group of people, very bad people, that come to the church, and they were teaching basically two things. First, they said, do you know, you can eat the meat was sacrificed in the temple. You can eat this meat, it's okay. And they said to, marriage, don't worry. You can have sex outside of marriage. It's fine too. Don't worry. So Jesus said here to the church, oh, I hate them. I hate them because they bring this kind of teaching to the church. And I praise you, church in Ephesus, because you are against them too. Jesus prays the church in Ephesus also for perseverance, for patience in tribulation, and have not grown weary. Jesus prays the church in Smyrna for be rich in spite of poverty. Despite all financial difficulty, Jesus called the Christians in Smyrna rich because they were investing in what was eternal. They were investing in something that no one could steal. They do not deny their faith because money. They do not deny their faith because the people said, okay, you said you are Christian, so I will not give you a job because you're Christian. But if you give up your faith, I can give you a job. So no, they prefer stay without money, but keep their faith. And Jesus recognized that and said, do you know, you were rich. You were rich. You were rich. The fifth element here is a rebuke. So to the church in Ephesus, he said, I have one thing against you. You left the first love. He who holds the angels in his right hand and walks among the church knows the real condition of our soul. Jesus knows you. Jesus knows me. Jesus sees through all our activities. Jesus sees through all our patience. Jesus sees all through our fight to protect the doctrine. Jesus sees through all our fight to protect the right music to sing on Sunday. Jesus sees through our fight to, oh, what is the right instrument to play in the church or not? Jesus sees everything. The church in Ephesus had everything except one thing Jesus deserved. I have this against you. You left your first love. I remember I cannot say about this about I told in the first service about my wife, because I still, when I look her, my heart go faster. Still do this. Praise the Lord for that. Okay? But I just remember, do you know when you are in high school and you fell in love for some girl or boy? When you look her, when you look him, your heart, it's him. It's her. When you are dating and you spend more time in front of the mirror, you'd like to give special time to spend with him or with her. You spend 3 hours with her, with him, and when you get home, the first thing you do is call and say good night. What is this? It's the first love. It's the first connection. And this is what Jesus is talking about here. I have one thing against you. You do everything. You fight for this holy doctrine. It's good. You worship with freedom. It's good. You come to the church every Sunday. It's good. You do you give your tithe. It's good. You serve to the community. It's good. But one thing I have against you. You left your first love. When you accepted Jesus, and I remember, then when I was walking the street, and I want to talk about Jesus everywhere. I went in a taxi drive, and I asked, hey, do you know the way for the heaven? And what? What is the street? I don't know. Or when I go to a restaurant, and I see, can I give you some water of life? And, oh, this kind I don't have here. Do you know you try to connect every moment in your life, every circumstance in your life, in your opportunity to share the gospel? Because this is what you are. You're in love with Jesus. But for most of us, unfortunately, is when the time passed by, this thing is called damaged. And Jesus is talking about, okay, you do everything here right, but you need to come back. To the church in Smyrna, nothing. Jesus has nothing against them. Because there is no word of criticism or correction to the church, because the disciples of Smyrna were doing everything right. Unlike the disciples in Ephesus, they had not left the first love. Now Jesus offers some advice to this church, counsel. And for the church in Ephesus, he said, remember, repent, do the first works. First, remember, recognize our condition, your condition. If you have fallen out of love, we need to confess it. Remember, look back. How was you in the past when you accepted Jesus? How was me? And he said, repent. The word means to turn around, to shift the focus back on him. Turn involved changing schedules, changing habits, commitments in order to restore our relationship with Jesus. Turn around. In turn, it says, redo. Go back and do the things we did when you first was in love with Jesus. To the church in Izmir, Jesus advised them, like, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. The disciples in Smyrna were under pressure, and Jesus was warning them that the pressure was about to increase. Yeah, you will have more pressure. And one thing that came to my mind now is that it would be a lot easier to have you are under pressure, but don't you worry, everything will be okay. The pressure will be gone. But it's not that Jesus said. In my view, in my human view, I can have this phrase, this statement for the church in Ephesus, or maybe for the church in Laodicea in the last church, because they were doing so many things wrong. But just a detail, remember, Jesus didn't say anything against the church in Smyrna. They were high-level church, do everything right. They continue with first love. They were faithful. But what Jesus said to them? You are in pressure, under pressure. The pressure will be more. The pressure will be more. But do not fear any of the things which you are about to suffer. The truth is that all those who seek to be faithful disciples in our cities are also under pressure. To be in Jesus, to be part of the kingdom, is not only come to the church and have joy or power, fellowship with God, but it also means to be in telepsis, to live under pressure because of the gospel. It's both ways, both ways. The seventh element here is the warning. So Jesus looked to the church in Ephesus and said, your lampstand will be removed if you not repent. Jesus warned the church in Ephesus, if you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. He is Lord of the church, and he has every right to do it. And the lampstand here relates to the presence of God, the power of God among us. So what Jesus is saying to the church is, if you not repent, if you not come back, I will take my presence from the church. The presence of God is here. The power of God is here. The presence of Jesus is here. This make us the body of Jesus Christ. If the presence of God is out here, we are just a club. We are just a place where we hang out to have fun together. So what Jesus said to the church is, if you not repent, if you not come back, if you not seek me with all your heart, I will take out my presence, my light, my power. To the church in Smyrna, they were okay don't have Jesus not offer any warning because they were living out their faith. The eighth element is the reward for overcomes. And to the church in Ephesus, he said, Jesus makes a wonderful promise to those who overcome, to those who do remember, repent, redo. He said, to the one who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of the life, which is in the paradise of God. Revelation 2, verse 7. So this is the tree in the middle of the garden, the Eden garden. What does this mean? This means that if they repent, they come back. If they overcome, they can have again that close relationship that God and Adam have in the garden. Do you remember every day in Genesis chapter 1 or 2? Say that every day Jesus or as God come in the end of evening or in the beginning of the evening to walk and talk with Adam. They walk together every day. Relationship so deep, so close. Every day, God just come to hang out with Adam and Eve and just talk. And Jesus says to the church, to those who overcome, I will give you to eat the tree in the garden, in the paradise. The same relationship. To the church in Smyrna, he says, you offer the crown of life. And they said, you will not be hurt at all by the second death. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. First, Jesus promised to those who endure that he will give them the crown of life. The word here he used refers to the victory crowns, was the crown that the athlete received after he finished the race. So you finish the race, life. The second promise here, Jesus promised those who overcome that they shall not be hurt by the second death. Revelation chapter 2, verse 11. The first death, all will die. All. We all die. But the second death is the final death, is to be eternal, separate from God. And Jesus does not promise immunity for us to the first death, but he promised us immunity for the second death, because in Jesus we will not suffer the second death, is the separation from God. I will give you the crown of life. You will not be hurt by the second death. Those who are born again in Jesus, those who come to life in Jesus, do not die the second death. And the ninth and final element in this letter is the closing. And they close in the same way. They end in the same way. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. So what you can, if you can summarize, take home today. We need to remember that we are in the Jesus' hands. Nobody can take us out of him. He is present among us. He is present. He is here. We are not alone. And doesn't matter we are going through, Jesus is with you. And if you are suffering, persecution, and it doesn't matter that you are doing even anything wrong. It's just because be part of the body of Christ. One part is suffer because the gospel is part of be in the kingdom. So what Jesus has for us, it's look inside our hearts and see. We have the same passion that we have before with Jesus. And he called us, just come. Come back for your first love. when you see Jesus, you know, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your word. We praise you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy that renew every morning. Thank you because our life is in your hands. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for because you strengthen us. Help us to be faithful. Help us to remember, to repent, and to redo our first works. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.